Francis Picasso for the mass today, taking from the 8th chapter of St. John, verses 46 to 59. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. Thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God, and you have not known him. But I know him, and if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you, a liar. But I do know him and do keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones, therefore, to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. That's for the words of today. Holy Gospel, please be seated. Today is a Passion Sunday. Just a reminder from Father Ahern to please sign up on that chip for all night of adoration on Holy Thursday. You are very blessed to have the Holy Week in this chapel, and I hope that you all will do your part to make it the best, and also in attending and participating in the service. And so don't forget to sign up for all night adoration. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The scene that we have just read in the Gospel today took place in the Temple of Jerusalem, and we see how the envy and hatred of the Jews against our Blessed Lord had reached its culmination, and they had sent their servants to arrest him while he was preaching. But these servants, these people who came to arrest him, were so captivated by his words that they felt compelled not to carry out their evil mission, and they actually said of him, "Never did a man speak like this man." And the next day, the scribes and the Pharisees brought before our Lord, as you remember, an adulterous woman, in order to test him, ask him whether, according to the law of Moses, she has to be stoned to death or not.
They did know that our Lord, he was very holy, and he had also a natural goodness, and so that he would acquit her, and in this case, they would have had reason for condemning him as a violator of the law, somebody who publicly transgressed the law. That was very sacred for the Jews. But our Lord, once again, he confounded their cunning just by saying, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And so we arrive to the scene of the gospel today, and we see that they continue their malicious questions and even blasphemies. When our Lord reproached them for their unbelief, they began to insult him in a very horrible manner. "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me?" And here our Lord is telling them that because of his example, since no one, not even his enemy, could accuse him of anything wrong or any evil, because of his good example, he deserved credibility. And so he said, "Just tell me if you see something wrong, and if you don't, why you don't believe me?" I mean, a holy person, a person who gives a perfect example of all virtue, deserves credibility. Why you refuse it? But our Lord tells them the reason why they refuse to believe. "He that is of God," he says, "hears the words of God. Therefore, you hear them not, because you are not of God." They refuse to believe in him, not because they could convince him of any sin, but only because they were of corrupted heart. That's what we call Pharisaical scandal. They were scandalized at our Lord, not because our Lord gave them occasion, but they were scandalized because they were of corrupted heart. They were not guided by God. They were guided by the devil. This severe reproach at their unbelief made them, of course, very angry, and being unable to refute him with arguments, they broke out into horrid insults and blasphemies. "Do we not say well that thou art a Samaritan and has a devil?" Now, to call someone a Samaritan among the Jews was a very great insult. It was like saying you are a public enemy or heretic. But that was nothing in comparison with saying to him, "You have a demon." So what a blasphemy uttered to the Son of God. "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me." So the first blasphemy, that he was a Samaritan, he made no reply because it was directed to his person, and also because evidently it was evidently false. He refuted the second blasphemy, though, because it touched actually the order of God. But he does this without any bitterness, showing that he is doing the very contrary of the devil. He is not possessed, but he is honoring his Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keeps my word, he shall not see death forever. Now this is a beautiful promise of our Lord to all of us. If any man keeps my word, he shall not see death forever. He's still trying, if that would be possible, to bring them back and to reconsider and accept his doctrine, and not only accepting his word, but also to put it into practice. He keeps my word, that they may escape death and live forever. Now, there are three kind of death that we know. There is a physical death, when we all pass, the soul separates from the body. There is also what is called moral death, when we lose the grace of God. We may be alive and healthy, but we are supernaturally dead, because without God, we are dead in our soul. And there is eternal death, which is damnation. Now, the Word of God protects us against this threefold death if we accept it and we keep it. Therefore, we have to make it a rule of our life. It will not only preserve us from mortal sin and eternal damnation, but the Word of God, if we practice it, if we are good Christians, the Word of God will also save us from physical death, in this sense, that the death of the just is not seen and is the ending of heaven. And when we live and die in a state of grace, we know our death is the beginning of eternity, as we read in the preface of the Mass of the Departed. So our death is not taken away our life, but actually is changed into eternal life. Only those who keep the word of God, only those who live as a good Christian, only those who live, persevere, and die in a state of sanctified purpose. Now the Jews did not understand the words of Christ. Again, not because he was saying that his disciples would not die, like Abraham and the prophets, they all die. Not my disciples would be greater in that respect to Abraham and the prophets. The Jews did not understand because of their hatred and pride. But our Lord takes them at their words to proclaim himself even above Abraham and to give testimony of the truth. Now, this is a very important and solemn passage, because sometimes there is a discussion after 2,000 years of tradition, a Holy Scripture. Who is responsible and why was the cause of our Lord's condemnation? Who was it? Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad. In other words, he was the just of the covenant, Abraham. He believed in the promised Messiah. And now that the Son of God was on earth, he rejoiced. But they persisted in their blindness, and even with more anger, they said to our Lord, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" What a hardening of heart! Our Lord, however, takes this occasion in order to proclaim very clearly his divinity, that is, that he is God, and he existed from all eternity, that he was the Messiah, and the Jews had to accept him. this is the passage in which he says with very much clarity and solemnity, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. For the hearing, the Jews, it was very clear statement. Only God could say, as he said to Moses, I am from all eternity. And the Jews understood perfectly. In fact, they have but two choices, either to believe at his words, he is the Messiah, he is the promise of the nation, he is the savior of the world, and they have to outside, and they picked up a stone to kill him. Now, this is an important passage because the Jews, it is like the scripture interpreting the scripture. There cannot be doubt about the understanding to that statement of our Lord that he was proclaiming himself to be God. And for that very reason, he was rejected. He was put to death because he called himself God. Now, the simple question is for all of us, either he is God or he is not. Either he is the Messiah or he is not. We have to wait for that Messiah, which we call the Antichrist, to come. No? Remember the simple words of our Lord. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, what are the few lessons we can learn from this gospel today? Very quickly, the first is that we should always give the good example. Who can convince me of sin? Now, imagine our Lord, who was meticulously observed in every single move, in his teaching, in his action. Nobody could convince him of sin. And so this is a very good example for those who have a place of authority, those who have to teach or correct others. They have to show always a good example, not only before men, but especially before God. Second lesson is that faith alone is not enough. We must conform our moral life to our faith. Our Lord says, he that is of God hears the words of God. If any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever. So we have to hear and keep it. Not just like the Jews, they knew the scriptures very well, very meticulous. They were observers of the law, but their moral life was totally corrupted, and for that very reason, they refused to accept our Lord. It's very important that our daily life, not only private, but public life, corresponds, is in conformity with our faith. The third lesson is one of patience and even meekness. Enduring insults and persecution. Look at the humility of Christ. He is the innocent Lamb of God, who, as St. Peter says, being reviled, did not revile. When he suffered, did not threaten. And yet, how delicate we are at a little contradiction makes us sometimes go angry and desires of revenge. O man, says St. Augustine, what ignominy can be inflicted upon you that Christ has not first endured? Especially during this passion time, we meditate on how much he suffered, how much persecution, insult he was spit upon. He was scourged, crowned. He was crucified. to show us an example that to follow in our life. Fourth lesson is true humility, which on one side endures personal offenses but reacts promptly when the honor of God or the honor of the church is at stake. As much as we can, we should never allow that God and the Catholic Church be dishonored. That is not humility. Very often, that is a sign of cowardice and lack of fortitude, lack of courage. And finally, that we should not seek our own glory, but in everything we should seek the glory of God, as Saint Ignatius says, ad maiorem Dei gloria, for the greater glory of God, that God, His Divine Majesty, be praised in all things. These are the lessons we should learn from today's Gospel. We live in an age in which Christ and His Holy Church is greatly reviled, insulted, and blasphemed, and even persecuted. And if we want to be good Christians, we will certainly undergo the same path. The disciple cannot be greater than the master. And this is not a surprise for us. This was predicted by our blessed Lord. This is the way all the saints went through. And we are not in a section. If we want to get there, we should not be discouraged, but we should persevere, especially in times of tribulations and persecution. We should persevere, being assured that the only way to get to heaven is following our blessed Lord through the paths of suffering and persecution. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.